welcome to episode 377 of Awards Daily TV's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Moser, and I'm joined by the other two M's, plus a special guest. Let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Clarence.
Hello, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy.
And I'll take a second to introduce our special guest, Zachary.
Hi, I'm Zachary Landolt, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zachary of No H, and I also host a LGBTQ-centered movie review podcast, plus many other things, called Two Gays Watch. You can also find on both of those platforms at Two Gays Watch.
Well, thank you for joining us here, joining the water cooler. Get
thank
a cup
you
of water.
Yeah. So many times.
So we will close our podcast, as always, with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So we're going to talk about ladies today. Ladies in a limited form, not of their limited talent, because I think all the women in the outstanding lead actress in a limited series category are all very exceptional women. Women. I personally think this is one of the most exciting races every year. I think this always has a really great winner to it. So I'm hoping as we go through these contenders, we can see if, you know, another great performance will join the ranks of those. So I guess I'm not really sure how you guys want to do this. Do you want to like talk about like people that you're really looking forward to see maybe getting a nomination? Do you want to talk about predictions first? Do you sort of just want to like throw out names and we can talk about them? What do you guys want to do?
Let's talk about who we all agree are locks. That's usually the best way to get through it, is kind of whittle out like Amanda Seyfried. I mean, everybody knows she's the lead right now.
Yeah.
At this point.
So,
right?
So in the last couple of years, there's only been five slots correct for this category, which is, to me, is bogus.
It's insane.
Zachary and I were talking about that just the other day. Let's go down the line. So I think we can all agree on Amanda Seyfried for The Dropout, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Margaret,
and we should
Qualley.
Say there's a, I'm sorry to interrupt sorry, you, no. but we should say that okay. there's a possibility this year that there is
yes.
enough content to push it to six. There's enough limited series or performances where we think potentially there could be six. A lot of major outlets are predicting six.
Okay. Yeah, let's just go with everyone, say six.
So one more person could get it.
One more out of 40 people. Margaret Qualley for Maid.
I'm just not sure about whether people will remember it.
It did come out a while ago.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have her really high up on predictions.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her in it. I'm worried if it was like a flashy enough role. I don't know. There's so many other like splashier performances, I feel like, in the contention this year. So I'm like, I don't know. I would love to see it happen. But
she's probably more like six or seven, it sounds like, for a lot of people here.
I'll tell you somebody who I do think is should be maybe higher on the list now is Toni Collette.
Oh.
And I know this is a controversial statement.
You mean
supporting
player Toni Collette?
Yes, but I get why they've put her in lead, because she is like, you know, the whole thing's about her at the bottom of a staircase. But what they put this woman through, like, it's a very physical performance in a lot of ways. So I kind of feel like she's more, and because it's recently on everybody's mind and everybody loves Toni Collette, you know, even with like going back to the United States of Tara and like show, like, I don't know. I feel like we're underestimating that because it is a quote unquote supporting performance, but I feel like
yeah.
she should be higher up on the list.
Honestly, I nominate her for throwing herself down a flight of stairs several times. Like, that's harrowing to watch. Like, I love the show,
yeah.
but I've been like, please don't watch me. Don't
I just
make me watch Toni Collette get killed again. This is
right.
a lot.
I think that I keep imagining that they're just like, I'm sorry, Toni, can we get another one? And she's just like, do something else. That's one of the reasons why we want to talk about her in particular in relation to the category, because I said it to Clarence about how I think it was the Hollywood Reporter's list. Like every year they do, they release an issue of like contenders, and they always, every page has a different category on it, and they always have like 10 or 8 contenders on it. And Toni Collette is on, you know, their perceived 10 in the front performances. And the person who tweeted this out, there was like, oh my God, we have a pick of, you know, all 9 of these leads and that Toni Collette supporting performance. She could be nominated for lead actress in a limited series. So Amanda Seyfried, yes. Are we all going to say Toni Collette? Yes.
I say yes, but that's
She was on my list, I have to say.
Okay.
I mean, if she goes to 6, yeah, I would say she's 5 or 6.
You know, and I think after those probably 3, I feel like maybe after that, maybe anybody else can sort of interject with that. I feel like there is a possibility for quite literally any number of combination of some of these other women. You could make a serious case, I would say. So Jessica Chastain, Scenes from Marriage. Yes, that show came out a while ago. It is a tough sit, but she just won an Oscar. Mm. What do you guys think of Jessica Chastain?
I feel like they're that doesn't get in too. Because that's so dark, because it's just so depressing. Like, probably quite possibly more depressing than The Staircase. Like, if that's possible. No, I don't know. It's just so, that first episode was even like, oh God, do I want to watch this? Like, because The Staircase takes like the angle of like true crime podcast, which is, you know, fascinating fun, even though it's based on a real murder or death. Whereas I feel like Scenes of a Marriage is like, it's just a lot. It's, I don't know. It doesn't have that, I hate to say fun angle, because like The Staircase is not fun. You know, it's terribly sad, but the lens that it, like, you're watching it through, you're seeing like how trying to figure out the crime. I don't know. I feel like that elevates that a little bit more. I don't know. I just don't think that, I don't know if Scenes from a Marriage didn't do as well as we thought, like just with even buzz, I feel like, but maybe that was just me.
No, well, you're right. I mean, it she got a Golden Globe nomination, but she did not get a SAG nomination. Margaret Qualley did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I would just say Scenes from a Marriage did not have Juliette Binoche pounding cans of Coca-Cola. So like,
yes, like, is it Diet or is it Coke or Diet Coke? Is she have Coke?
I thought it was Coke.
I think you're right, because I count Diet Coke and I couldn't remember if I'm Juliette Binoche or not.
I'm sure, like, Juliette Binoche drinking a Coca-Cola just feels not right, but I'm enthralled. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely had more fun watching The Staircase than Scenes from a Marriage, but that could just be me being weird.
I think sort of the hurdle that everyone had with Scenes from a Marriage, if they even watch it in the first place, is the fact that it is, you know, I mean, it's modeled after a Bergman,
right.
You know, exactly series. I mean, it's
that accessible
it's,
to begin with.
No, and I don't think it's trying to be. It challenges you from the very beginning. Like with this episode 2, which I, you know, maybe they would push episode 2 of that. I'm not exactly sure how they do limited series in terms of submissions and stuff, but the episode where she actually leaves him is the second episode, and that is so beautifully acted that I want her to get in just for that, just because it is it's also just not a true crime thing, and you could,
and that could be something that actually is a benefit for it too, because if you look down this list, it's like mostly true crimes.
Yeah. All right, so in terms of those four, let's sort of keep going, because there are a lot of lovely, luscious ladies on here. Sort of going on the true crime angle, we have Madonna, played by Julia Garner, in Inventing Anna. She's probably going to get nominated, maybe win a third Emmy.
Do you really think so?
Oh my God.
I don't think, you're lying, I'm not right? saying that. I mean, I didn't think she was going to win the second one, and here we are. You know, screaming is acting. But people love that performance, and they want to, I don't know. So she's, I mean, Inventing Anna, I don't think that show went over that well. So I don't think, I personally think that if she got in, it would be sort of a disservice to the rest of the other performers, especially because she's going to get nominated somewhere else. I know Clarence is probably really happy that, you know, she's still part of the conversation, right?
You are broke ass with your dumb ass opinion.
You're broke ass with your Emmy nomination. Oh,
I hate it. I hate it so much. And I want to die. And you are fat and ugly. And I hate you.
And I want to pump you up. That's what I was waiting for.
You know, I do think she, as much as it kills me, and you all know, I do not like this performance. I do not like this series. But I'm just wondering if there's so much confusion, there's so many contenders, is there a chance for her to get in on name recognition alone? And I think that is a very, very, very strong possibility.
But let me ask you this. Like, if you put her up against, like, somebody else probably, I'd say, in the same realm of will they get in, like Lily James, I think Lily James gets in before her.
Yes, I agree. Okay. I agree.
Yeah, I agree. But I think you have to sort of, I always think you kind of always have to look at those people who don't actually watch stuff, and they look at that ballot and they pick stuff because they know who they are, or they know that Shonda Rhimes was a part of it, or something like that. Like, sometimes I feel like you have to always kind of put in there that people are just going to do really stupid shit and just...
And it feels like every time a Netflix show comes out, there's some kind of title that says, oh, this was the most watched thing we've ever had. And, you know, now Stranger Things is the most watched thing they've ever seen. But remember, Inventing Anna was watched by more people than that chess show, that the Queen's Gambit.
But was it made like the number one for a while, too? Like, if you're picking a Netflix show, okay, like, go bullet to your head. If it's, is it Margaret Qualley or is it Julie Garner?
I think it's Margaret Qualley.
I think it's Margaret Qualley.
Okay. So far we think Margaret Qualley and Lily James get in before Inventing Anna.
Lily James is my girl, and if she does not get in, I'm going to be like, this is a robbery. The robbery.
I think she should get in, too. I think she's... I think my main problem with Pam and Tommy is that it's taking liberties on a story that it's doing the exact same thing to Pam Anderson that the tape did. But that's no fault of Lily James's, and her performance should be still rewarded with a nomination, I think, because she's very good in it.
I definitely don't disagree with that point. All I can say is when I was watching that show, I would have times where I'd be like, that's not Pamela Anderson.
Right.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's not her. And it's still, I don't know. It has stuck with me.
It's exactly what Megan said it was. It is another instance of men imagining who she is.
Yeah.
You know, from sex goddess or from deeply misunderstood, you know, genius with real acting talent who's just never been given a chance. I can't even say that.
But she says she doesn't agree with the show. So she's not going to watch it.
I actually can't wait for her Netflix documentary that she's talking about. I'm dying to find out what she thinks
When Clarence and I were in New York for that HBO event, we were walking around and Pam Anderson is still in Chicago on Broadway.
Yeah.
And it was right around the time that shows were getting out, because we were walking by, there was a huge crowd around the Music Man and we kept hearing all these huge, you know, screams. We were waiting to see if Hugh Jackman would come out. But I was just like, I kind of want to stand here and see if Pam Anderson comes out. Also, I remember seeing, there's this gorgeous poster of her. And I was like, oh man, Lily James looks great. She looks so good.
That's so funny. I wish that the show would have, not to go on a Pam and Tommy rant, but I wish the show would have just if it was going to, you know, exploit this story, I wish it would have just let her be. Let this character not, maybe she didn't care. I mean, I'm sure she cared about the sex tape, but maybe she didn't have these grand Jane Fonda-esque ambitions like the show touts. I don't know. I would love to just see a woman being a woman. I don't know. But Lily James should definitely be
She's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
Okay, so those are like the main, probably the main six.
So it's Amanda Seyfried.
So Amanda Seyfried, Margaret Qualley, Toni Collette, maybe Jessica Chastain. I would probably say Jessica Chastain is more towards five or six. Lily James, Julia Garner. Those are probably the names that most people are talking about now. Now, behind those six, there's quite literally like 20 other names. Now, I know that Zachary was really excited to talk about this category. So in your predictions, can you name me like one person that we didn't mention there that you are predicting?
Yeah, so Amanda, Toni, and Lily were in my five. I could do a list of five. The two that you did not mention was Michelle Pfeiffer for the First Lady, who I'm still just rooting for because despite the problems people have with that show, I think she did like excellent work on that show. And I also had Jenny Ortega for The Fallout, as, like, a weird wild card.
Wait, which one's that?
That's the one about the school shooting.
I didn't know about this.
It probably won't happen, but like, I don't know. It's a wild card.
It's a movie that came out. Was it Netflix or was it
HBO Max? HBO Max. Yeah, it was HBO Max.
Yeah. That's hold on. Let me see. Limited series Emmy actress. I know. I saw somebody earlier today. I saw somebody on Gold Derby, which I know I don't really ever like bringing. I was like, well, Gold Derby said this.
But I'm always predicting people that like I just have a shot in hell. So like, it probably will not happen. But if it did happen, I'd be very happy.
I think there are, you know, there are some times when, you know, sometimes something really random gets in. So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Like, remember when nobody was predicting, like, Octavia Spencer for Selfmade, like, 2 years ago? No one had that on their radar. I can't think of something else right now, but that's the one that probably stuck out the most to
me.
Yeah,
that was one.
That was wild. Now.
Do you think Viola Davis has, like, she's also the queen of Emmys? No. Okay. I didn't even get,
they're not
like,
pushing her. They're starting to realize that Michelle Pfeiffer is the way to go, because in a lot of the ads that I've seen and a lot of, like, you know, like, page takeovers on, like, Variety and Deadline, or, like, when you're in this probably means nothing, but this is just what I'm seeing of when you're reading an article and there's an ad in the middle of the article and you have to scroll by it, all the articles are focusing on are Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm. Well, I feel like all the reviews I saw for that show, even the ones that, like, really were trashing on, like, Viola Davis or something, would make a point to be like, but Michelle Pfeiffer is incredible in this. So, I don't know. I'm rooting for her.
Okay. I like those. I like the fearlessness of Jenna Ortega.
I mean, probably stupidity, but, you know, we'll see.
That is awards predicting, so you never know. Is there anyone else that you guys are either, like, really thinking has a chance of being up there, or is actually, you know, like, maybe 7th, 8th, or 9th that could probably get in? Maybe Clarence, do you have somebody you're thinking of?
Yeah, I've got two.
Okay. I think I know one of them.
Julie Roberts for Gaslit. Mm-hmm. I think I just saw the finale last night, and it is mostly about her. It ties up her narrative arc very nicely. One of my problems with Gaslit has always been about you've teased me, Julia, but you're giving me a lot of other people, which I ended up loving a lot of the other people, so that's not a problem. But it is marketed as the Martha Mitchell story, and it's actually much bigger than that. It's not just about Martha Mitchell. So I thought they undercut her presence for a long time, but then this finale wraps it all up very, very nicely. Now, whether or not people are watching it, don't know. Mm-hmm. That's my issue with it. I mean, I think she is very good. I think she deserves to be in the top six, five or six, but, you know, I think she gives a very good performance. The Television Academy obviously does not feel obligated to nominate her, as they did not for
Homecoming.
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 Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And she was good in that too.
She was. So she would be my one of the two. I also think a very, very, very wild card would perhaps be Adrienne Warren, Woman of the Movement. women of the movement. She just won a Tony for playing Tina Turner. And if you know anything about her, then you're watching, this is the Emmett Till limited series that was on ABC. And she's very, very good in it. So those would be my two potential contenders. I'd love to say, I mean, the person that I think gave the best performance of this Emmy season was Sarah Paulson in Impeachment. Yeah, but I literally no one is talking about her. She has not gotten nominated anywhere. And I cannot
Isn't
understand.
Isn't that crazy? That's crazy.
I do not understand it.
We also haven't talked about the Karen in the room, Renee Zellweger. The thing about
I knew you were going to bring it. I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you who you thought, but then I realized you're probably going to bring Renee Zellweger.
Well, I was sitting on my hands waiting. But I think she's somebody who, I mean, I probably would, I mean, Sarah Paulson gives an amazing performance. She were probably right. Well, I would either say Sarah or Amanda Seyfried. I do love The Dropout so much. Mm. But I feel like, I don't know if Renee Zellweger is like a wild card Octavia Spencer type of you know, because that was like a really good draw for network TV. And I don't know how, if the Emmy voters are going to like, you know, throw NBC a bone in some way for a show, like, you know, like, I don't know, because it was based on another true crime. I don't know. I'm just wondering if she's like that weird, like, how did this end up here? But she's not doing like any press, really.
No, she's not doing any press. And if the Television Academy really looked at things like that, then they would have given the Good Place something somewhere, right? Just to throw NBC a bone. I don't know.
Oh, I guess. I don't know, but I don't. That's a different story. But I don't know if people actually liked The Good Place. I know. Did I hear a gasp? I'm sorry.
How dare. My favorite comedy.
I think we are the only three. You're guesting on a podcast where three people aren't the biggest fans of that show.
I've tried watching it. People always ask me, like, oh, I just assume you loved it. And I'm like, no. And they're like, we need to watch it. I'm like, I watched like the first season. Like,
like I tried.
Like, I did try. I gave it to you. Would you say?
It does keep evolving, but that's fine. That's totally valid.
Yeah.
If you didn't like the tone by the end of the first season, I think that's fair. That's fair.
I also think I like, not to go on a good place rant, but I think that I just couldn't buy Kristen. I like Kristen Bell, but I couldn't buy her as that character. Like, I don't know. She just didn't seem mean enough. I wanted somebody who like, oh, it would have been cool to see like a, who was the bitch from, Oh, the show that I'm not calling her a bitch. Don't Trust the Beat. Don't Trust the Beat.
Kristen Ritter.
Kristen Ritter.
Ritter. Yeah.
Like somebody like her, I think. Mm. Okay, that's I see her going to hell or going, you know, being stuck, you know, like not being in heaven, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was my biggest stumbling block, but I digress.
We actually, speaking of Kristen Bell, we actually had someone post on a comment on a post not too long ago.
Oh, great.
No one is talking about the woman in the apartment.
Shut up.
Oh,
no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like, why
would we? I watched it, to be honest.
I watched the first 15 minutes of it, and it was so horrible. I couldn't make it past it.
But I've heard a lot of people like that show.
Who are these
people?
Yeah,
a lot of
people
told me they were like, you need to.
The regs, the non film Twitter people. My peeps.
You associate with non film Twitter people. Megan.
How dare me?
How dare you? I'm going to throw out a couple of names just because I do think Lily James is great in Pam and Tommy. I think she's actually equally great in a limited series that came out around Christmas last year on Amazon called The Pursuit of Love, which is it's only like three episodes. It's super British, super delightful. Emily Mortimer directed it. It's really good, but she's really, really good in it. The two names I'm going to throw out there, one of them I think has an opportunity to spoil just because of who she is. And the other one, I can't believe I'm actually going to throw it out there. I mean, Claire Foy is in the second season of Very British Scandal. Now, I haven't talk to anybody who has watched A Very British Scandal this season. It definitely isn't, I don't think, on anyone's radar. It came out like in
3 months ago.
February.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought it just came out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm awful.
But if she can win, granted, a guest Emmy for reading a piece of paper.
She did a good job.
I didn't say she did a bad job. I just think it's the fact that she read a piece of paper. I think anything is possible. She is a name that obviously the Television Academy likes. And I cannot believe I'm going to say this, not necessarily as somebody who I think actually has a chance of getting in, but I would actually like to throw some advocacy out there for Kate McKinnon for Joe and Carol. Joe versus Carol.
What?
I watched Joe versus Carol because I spoke to John Cameron Mitchell.
Okay. And so what?
The show is not, I originally thought the show was a dramatization of the Netflix show. That's not what it is. It's based on the second season of a podcast that delves more into their personal lives than anything.
Okay.
And I was actually surprised by, there's a lot of stuff about how Joe Exotic, I didn't know that he had like his first partner who, when I watched it, his partner bought him a zoo, and Christian, our roommate, was like, thanks, Matt Damon. I didn't know his like first partner like died of AIDS. I didn't know a whole bunch of stuff about him. The tone is incredibly weird. Incredibly weird. But sometimes when it goes into darker dramatic territory, I was very impressed with Kate McKinnon's performance. And I can't believe I'm even admitting that out loud. Mainly
it wasn't
not
I
because
I thought you were gonna say.
Who do you think I was gonna say?
But you're gonna say Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel.
And I was like, don't.
She's
even.
Really well, good though. Jessica Biel.
She is really good. She's
yeah,
really
she's
good
really
in
good.
There.
Oh, yeah.
I'm biased. I have a weird thing with Jessica Biel, but it's.
I think
everyone. Have you watched it?
No, so I can't even have an opinion.
Tell us your weird thing with Jessica Biel.
Oh,
I just.
I don't want to rant. It's just like it's a weird thing where I'm like, oh, Jessica Biel trying to be an actress again. I don't know. It's probably me being crazy. She doesn't do it for me.
Did you see though The Sinner? She's really good in The Sinner.
No, you're not wrong. She was pretty good in The Sinner.
I actually wish that The Sinner was like the way it ends was not like totally. I don't know. It's kind of it has this great setup that you're like, what is it possibly? And then it's just like. Oh no, she just freaked out. Like, it was just like I'm like, there's a conspiracy in these people.
I just remember the scene on the beach where the crime happens. The violence was so visceral to look at.
Yes.
I was like, is this allowed to be on television?
Yeah, that was an amazing scene.
Like,
yeah.
This is USA.
Like, no, exactly. I was like, this is USA Network. What's
and then how did
right
it
now?
Keep going with Bill Pullman and not even like I would follow that character. Like how does Jessica Biel's character like continue after that? Like,
well, she's not in the second season.
Right.
Is she?
Yeah. But Bill Pullman's in all three seasons, right?
I'm mainly
yeah,
with Jessica Biel.
There's four seasons now, aren't there?
Possibly.
Oh, really?
Well, the third season with Matt Bomer is actually really good.
Oh, that's right.
Season four was last year. It's eligible last
wow.
year.
Wow. Okay.
Wait, is it eligible this year? No, I think it's eligible this year.
I just remember Jessica Biel, she did an interview where she said, essentially, like, Anne Hathaway has my film career. And I was like, okay, let's get crazy here. It's Biel.
Speaking of Anne Hathaway, has anyone watched We Crash? No? All right, moving on.
I was going to say, is that one we should be... I feel like that should... Well, no, but... That's one that I feel like when that was coming out, I was really excited about it. And then it just kind of came and went. I'd still like to watch it.
I'm sure I will watch it, but have I watched it? No.
Yeah.
It's well, like, hard to sort find of time. Just, sort of just going down this list of other people. So we said Renee Zellweger. We just mentioned Jessica Biel. I don't know. I don't even know how that originated. Anytime, I don't know, Zach, how long, if you've ever even listened to our podcast, but there was a part where... anytime we mention Jessica Biel's name, we say her name like that. Jessica
it was
Biel.
Me. It was because I said it. Okay. I remember exactly why we talked about, because we were like, who's going to be nominated in this category? And I was like, it's going to be weird if it's like Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon. Oh, and then I went like, Jessica Biel. And I made like a weird voice like that. And then it just stopped. Yeah.
Quirky Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Jessica Biel. I spoke to her for the first season of The Sinner. She was actually a very engaging. Oh. She was good. I mean, she was a good time to talk to. Yeah. You know, hope, you know, that vaccine's working out for her.
I have no ill will towards her.
Wait, what did you say, Zach?
I have no ill will towards this people.
Okay. I don't either. She's good on candy. She's really good in candy.
I realized I just went from Zachary to Zach. Do you go by Zach? I just like gave you a nickname.
I literally have no preference. Like, okay. Choose your own adventure. No.
I like how I'm one of those people like, hey there. Like Robert. Hey, Z. Hey, Bobby. Like,
hey, Zachary. I've called him, you know, I've referred to him as hey you for 6 months and he still answered, so it's fine. Actually, hey, some hey you, and he's like you. Somebody that I would actually want to throw out there that I totally forgot about, Emmy Rossum and Angeline. I think that show is actually really good. I like it.
Yes, that's another good one. You know, I'm looking at.
Did you watch it?
No, I've been wanting to though. One of those shows that's on by long.
It's only five episodes. It's really easy to get through.
It's a good time.
I'm looking at like past lead actress nominations. Okay, in 2018, Edie Falco was nominated. For the Menendez murders, Law and Order. So does this mean that like somebody like Renee Zellweger could get in there? Because that's kind of like, I mean, it's NBC. It's, I don't know. It's just interesting. I didn't realize that because I really was with you on like, oh, I don't think, I would love to see Renee Zellweger get in, but I don't think it's going to happen. But then seeing things like that pop up, it's kind of like, okay. Interesting. Okay.
I think that was probably just not to like beat down your theory, but I feel like it was I don't think Renee Zellweger is out of the realm of possibility, but I feel like that is more just like we've given Edie Falco 80 Emmys, Dick Wolf. Yeah.
I want to get this recorded right now, so then whenever Renee Zellweger gets in, you'll be like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. And I'm just going to play that all the time.
I want somebody at HBO to wake up that Connie Britton is the female lead of White Lotus and put her in that category.
That would be good too. You're right. Or even like, well, I guess Jennifer Coolidge is a supporting, but like she was kind of a big deal there too. That's interesting.
Is that being run as a limited series or as a drama?
It's a limited series.
Comedy? Well, this is season two, so I'm like, what is that? That's very confusing.
It's an anthology series.
One of those.
Yeah, one of those.
Wait a minute. There's a sequel to The Bad Seed?
Yes.
Hold on. The
worst it is seed.
It's a film. Oh, it's McKenna Grace. Emmy nominee. Yes. McKenna Grace.
The original film is so good. I feel like Clarence would be obsessed with that. The Bad Seed. Clarence.
Oh, The Bad Seed's great.
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen it? Oh my God, no. Clarence, you'd love it.
I have seen The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin.
This is better than The Good Son. I would
because I love The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin.
What are the opposite words?
Bad. The Bad Daughter.
I have seen The Good Son.
It's the same thing, though. It's like a demon kid.
Yeah, yeah. A child horror movie. Too. We love it.
I think Bad Seed's like scarier just because it's like black and white and just like, I don't know.
Your little blonde
girl. You mean the original, the one with
Patty McCorkle. Yes, the original. Yes.
Yeah. It's like high camp, but it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Do you think the pitch for The Good Son, this is now a Good Son appreciation podcast, do you think the pitch for The Good Son was Macaulay Culkin just gets into an elevator with a bunch of studio executives and he puts down a copy of Home Alone and he just takes a shit on it?
Or is it where maybe The Good Son is just like Kevin on like a different day, like I don't know, like
no,
that's the reason why they left him there. They left him there on purpose. The,
yeah,
Kevin is a sociopath. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah,
look at those you know little traps he set for those men.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah. What's the
pitch
difference
is
between it?
The ending of the movie where they say, "Imagine this: a woman hanging over the edge of a cliff. She's got Macaulay Culkin in one arm." And Elijah Wood in the other one. Who do you kill? Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin.
I've actually never seen The Good Son. Does she drop she drops the bad kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, she drops her own son and kills him.
Oh, that's right. It is her own son. That's right.
Yeah.
Because Elijah Wood's mother died.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, and it's got the best scene ever created in the history of cinema, where he has a giant scarecrow with a giant pumpkin head, and he goes, "Oh, Mr. Pumpkinhead is feeling really sad," and he's got him on the top of an overpass over a major highway.
Oh my god!
Like, he's gonna kill himself, and Elijah Wood's like, "Saucer eyes, saucer eyes, saucer eyes," and he goes, "Here he goes."
And then the, all about the good traffic, traffic
and like there's a time. 25 car pileup.
Oh. Wow.
Watch Daily TV's Watercolor Podcast cinema. Is brought to you by the 1993 American psychological thriller, Joseph Rubin's The Good Son.
Wow. Anyway.
Well, see, I think this is sort of like this category has like three really strong contenders, and then it's all like, meh. Yeah.
Oh, I think anybody. There are a lot of strong contenders in it. I just think that it's like, it's hard to predict because I mean, maybe you're right in that way that like by met there's like meaning that there's a lot of like other contenders that it could get in. Like, I don't know. Is that what you mean? Are you not like,
yeah, no. I mean, the category is fine. It's just like, you can make it, like Joey said earlier, you can make a case for 10 people to get, yeah, 10 women to get in this category, but only one of them is going to win.
I want the kooky category where it's like, Julia Garner, Renee Zellweger, Jessica Biel. Like, I want it to be Lily the James. Weirdest of the group. That's what.
And
I
then
want.
Just Michelle Pfeiffer, and then Michelle Pfeiffer stands among them all, and she.
Then Michelle Pfeiffer just rolling her eyes in the middle, like, oh geez.
She's like, here I am.
Me with we didn't mention. We didn't mention Olivia Colman in Landscapers.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that. Is it good?
I haven't either.
I watched the first two episodes. I did not love it.
Yeah. So. I feel like the story is more like is probably more interesting than maybe it's one of those cases than the actual filming of something. I don't know. But I really wanted to watch it. And then the way I like heard about the way they did it, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'll like this, but I should give it a shot. I mean, it's Olivia Colman too. We can't count her out.
No, for sure not.
I did think that I was sort of turned off by that show just because I was gonna watch it. It sort of just, you know, fell out of the wayside because there's like a million shows to watch. And when that show came out, there were like five or six really obnoxious, pretentious film Twitter people that were just like, it's so great. Of course it won't get nominated at the Emmys. And I was like, I don't want to watch it now. Stupid whores.
So, any other contenders? I think we've scraped the bottom of that barrel.
Yeah. All right.
I got so nothing. Then, who are the six then? Amanda Seyfried, Margaret Qualley, mm-hmm. Lily James,
Toni Collette, Julia Garner,
Julie, you know, Claire Pfeiffer Zellweger,
Foy. Well, no, it's P F O Y Wegger.
Pafoyga.
Hello, I'm here for my appointment. My name is Claire Pafoyga.
Ay, ay, ay.
Are they campaigning Gillian Anderson in the lead?
I think they're campaigning all three of them as lead, which I think is dumb.
A choice.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Let me see if it's on their Showtime FYC site.
And we forgot Beanie Feldstein for impeachment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely happening. That poor girl.
The poor sweet child.
Well, their FYC site isn't up yet, but thank God for, you know, if we want to check out the category placement of Your Honor, starring Bryan Cranston. Fucking kill me. Okay, so those are the main contenders. I think we should all agree on the main contenders, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the flash forward to the media that we are most anticipating in this upcoming week. And it is a tradition that when we have a guest, we ask our guest first. So Zach / Zachary / hey you.
Hey me.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to this week?
Okay, I screwed up. I thought you meant just media we were looking forward to like this year. So I thought I was all upset. And I'm like, oh, no. So if it has to be the next week, I guess I'll just be boring and say I'm having a thrilling time watching RuPaul's Drag Race all winter season.
That's not boring. That's a great pick.
So I'll just say that.
That's a great pick. That.
I love that.
I was going to say Hocus Pocus 2, but enough about that.
Catherine and Jimmy hates it. So,
oh, Catherine, really?
No, Catherine, nothing. That's a whole other conversation. We'll have to get into that afterward. Okay. Megan, what are you looking forward to?
You know what I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's
I'm going your reunion to see with Blue. Some dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah. I got my tickets for Saturday night.
Oh, bitch.
And then I'm going to like a gala on Friday, which I'm excited about. That has nothing to do with pop culture. I'm also reading, this book on, I had all these Audible credits, and then before I canceled, I wanted to get some books. And so I went through my list like hastily. And one of them was like the Michael Jackson tapes, like about his trial, in 2003. So I started listening to that, I'll just say that. I'm reading that. And then probably, that's probably about it this week. And just trying to make it through with all this Emmy stuff going on.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
I think this is a good time to warn our readers that they are about to get a train run on them of content. There is enough content that everyone can get a train run on them at the same time.
Railroaded.
Oh my God.
Megan, are you finished?
I also am like probably looking forward to the next couple of weeks watching. I've been watching Flavor of Love. Season 2. I'm now on season 2 when I do have time for anything. And also I want to watch Chrisley Knows Best because those Chrisleys are going to jail. So that'll be at some point I'll start watching that. Oh, and I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé too because I'm talking to somebody from 90 Day Fiancé next week and I can see why everybody loves it. It's kind of addictive. Or addicting, yeah.
Oof. Clarence.
I will not be watching 90 Day Fiancé. But as you know, Megan, you and I have vastly different tastes, as you said in our Sheryl Crow interview.
Yes. mean that they're not good. They're both good.
No,
like, yes.
No. We just have very different tastes. It's fine. I was really interested in seeing Jurassic thing, Dominion, and it's Jurassic World. But the reviews are savage.
Oh, no.
They were savage last time, too.
Yeah, I waited for that one. Yeah, I waited for that one at home, and I was good with that. I had a good time, and I think I'm just going to wait for this one at home, too, because it'll be out in 6 weeks or something like that on Peacock.
Sorry, something's wrong.
I'm going to see...
Sorry.
Are you done?
No. What are you seeing?
I am going to go see Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen it either.
So, see that this weekend.
I can't wait for you to see it. I'm excited to hear what you think.
And I am going to catch up on two non-Emmy contention shows, even though I have not finished all of the Emmy contenders. I think I'm pretty good with what I've seen so far. I am going to finish or watch The Boys season 3 and finish Shining Veil, which, you know, I should be able to find 45 minutes in my life to watch the last 3 episodes or what. That's a short show.
Yeah, I really like that show.
Yeah.
I don't know what Shining Veil is.
That's the Courtney Cox
show.
Oh.
Oh.
I love Courtney really Cox.
Good. It's
I actually heard
it's,
that was very good.
It is good. I wouldn't say it was really good.
Well, I'd probably add a word.
But it's fun. It's fun. And she's good in it. She tries really hard.
And that's not an insult, but it sounded like shady. And I was like, that's good.
Did you have fun out there?
She tries really hard. And you gotta love her for that.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, we should have a whole conversation about Courtney Cox and her acting. But
I love her.
I do. Yes, I love her too. I do love her too. I think she's taken to heart feedback that she's not as good as perhaps others. And so she tries really, really hard. But the beauty of her is that she's just very naturally Monica. And so she's very great at doing that thing.
Justice for Cougar Town.
She was really good on what was that show she did on FX?
Dirt.
That was like, yeah, Dirt. Like Dirt. That was a really interesting show that she did that I thought was like kind of, it was like her Scream character, only like darker and like dirtier. I loved it.
Oh yeah.
That show would kill if it came out now.
I know.
Yes. That's exactly what she said on Scott Feinberg's podcast. Oh, really? With her. Yes.
Ooh.
Just thought it was a show ahead of its time. Although she's interesting. She says things that you wouldn't necessarily hear stars say on podcasts, because she did say the way that they pitched that show was very different than the way that it came out. And I'm not entirely sure that she was 100% thrilled with it.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I have to listen to that podcast now.
Yeah. Mm. It's a good podcast. She can't remember anything, though. She has a terrible
memory. Yeah, she says that. Yeah, she said that on Friends, too. And people, because like they did an article about like, she can't remember anything. And they played it like she was like stupid or like she just didn't care. It was like, no, she just can't remember, guys. Like,
no, she has no concept. Yeah, like Scott Feinberg is reading out these dates. And she's like, did I do that before Friends or after? Or when was that Scream? Did I do a Scream in there? I don't know. I can't remember. Like,
wow.
Okay, anyway, I'm done.
I'm looking forward to a couple of things. I finally got a screener to Cha Cha Real Smooth, so I want to watch that.
Oh.
So good.
And I have screeners to that new Maya Rudolph show, Loot, on Apple TV.
Oh.
And I am also going to see Top Gun, but I also am doing an interview with Eric Cervini next week. He is an author of a nonfiction book called The Deviant's War, which is about, it's like queer history in the, I'm trying to look it up because I don't technically really know what the book is about. I can't find it. Gay stuff. You know, very loose topic. And he has a show on Discovery Plus called The Book of Queer, which talks about historical figures who may or may not have been gay or stuff. Oh. Like they did the first episode that I watched, like one of his publicists gave me a screen of the first episode like a month or so ago. And the first episode is about like Abraham Lincoln and Eleanor Roosevelt, and I can't remember who else, but I thought it was really interesting. And I didn't know a lot of stuff. Like, I didn't know that it was a widely known thing that Abraham Lincoln lived with a man for quite a long time, and he wrote in public documents about how the two of them shared a bed. I didn't know that.
Oh.
Well, that wasn't in Spielberg's movie.
No, yeah. It wasn't. The like bottle of gun oil lube is just out of the shot. Put that in there.
Stop it.
I guess it's called musket oil instead. I don't know.
Would he have still got that Oscar? I don't know.
I don't know. So the show does this really sort of campy thing where they do reenactments with like incredibly gay actors. So like Abraham Lincoln in this total fag, which is really funny. It's really funny. Oh, you will love it. It's so funny. If you don't have Discovery Plus, which I don't think anyone does, I will give you my login so you can watch first episode. It's out on Discovery Plus now, I guess.
But what channel is it on?
Discovery Plus.
Mm.
Discovery Plus. This podcast is brought to you by Discovery Plus.
And the good side.
Yeah, the good side.
All right. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's, contributors Clarence Moy, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Joey Moser. Thank you for... Oh, and also our special guest. Sorry, that's asshole. Our special guest, Zachary Landolt, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.